Irish Illustrated Insider subscribers. This is Drew Mentak. I'm back with the 25th episode of our bi-weekly podcast series in the feed, Irish Illustrated Interviews. Today, I'm bringing you my conversation with Isaiah Dunn, a former Notre Dame walk-on cornerback who suited up for the Fighting Irish from 2022 to 2025. Fans might know him from his Notre Dame-produced social media segment, That's How It's Done, where he interviewed teammates, asking them to break down big plays they made in a recent game. That includes Bronte Johnson and others. He also co-hosted Wake Up the Echoes, a university-produced podcast featuring Marcus Freeman and other members of the team, which he hosted alongside Tony Simeone for the last 2 years. Today, he's a sports reporter and anchor with WNDU, one of the local television stations. It's situated just off Notre Dame's campus. You might even see him driving a golf cart to press conferences this fall if you look hard enough. Our conversation covers how a kid who grew up in California fell in love with the Fighting Irish, his experiences as a walk-on, including working with Marcus Freeman on the scout team, and the valuable media training he gained at Notre Dame. We also discuss his current role with WNDU, interning at ESPN, pickleball, and his thoughts on this upcoming season. Here's my conversation with Isaiah. What's up, everyone? I'm here with Isaiah Dunn, a former Notre Dame walk-on cornerback who suited up for the Fighting Irish from 2022 to 2025. Fans might know you from your segment, That's How It's Done, where you interviewed teammates on social media, asking them to break down big plays they made in a recent game. You also co-hosted Wake Up the Echoes, a university podcast where you talked to Marcus Freeman and other members of the team, along with host Tony Simeone for the last 2 years. You interned at ESPN, where you brought over the segment Done in a Minute onto College Football Live, interviewing well-known guests Jeremiah Love and, again, Marcus Freeman. Today, you're a sports reporter and anchor for WNDU, one of the local television stations situated just off Notre Dame's campus. You might even see him driving a golf cart to press conferences this fall. Now, you're also the best pickleball player on the Notre Dame beat, something I unfortunately learned the hard way. Isaiah, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Drew, thank you. I mean, what an intro. That was awesome. I appreciate the pickleball comment. That was my favorite one.
I mean, you earned it, so.
I'm excited to be here, though. I'm excited to be on your podcast. This is really cool. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you're a kid from California. Notre Dame does have some connections out there, but I've gotten to know you. I know Notre Dame was your dream school. So what is your kind of first memory of the university and what you made you fall in love with it, even from being, 2000 miles away?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of my family is actually from the East Coast. They're from Boston. Majority of my family was there. I was actually born in Boston, but you're right. I was raised in California and lived most of my life in California. But I remember when I was a little guy, I was probably under 10. I was watching college football. My first word was ball. So I love sports no matter what. And I was watching college football and I saw this team come out there and they had these really shiny gold helmets. And I'm like, oh, yeah, who are they? And my mom told me, like, that's Notre Dame. They're really good at football. And I remember since then, I fell in love with the school, right? I saw the gold helmets. That brought my attention. And then I started watching them on a daily basis. I became a lifelong fan. I had the Manti Te'o jerseys. I found actually a booklet before I decided to come to Notre Dame. When I was in first grade, I put in my – it's like, what is your dream? It was to play – at Notre Dame. It wasn't even the NFL. It was to literally play at the University of Notre Dame. So I grew up watching them and it became almost a full circle moment being able to come to the university and play football here. But I remember when I was deciding on where I was going to go to school in high school, my mom made me come out here when it was freezing cold. Obviously I was in California, so I was spoiled with weather. But she's like, all right, she loved the school because she was all academics. And we got out here and it was freezing cold, but it was beautiful. I mean, the people that have seen it, even when it's freezing, it's a gorgeous campus. And I knew when I stepped on campus, I was like, this place is a place for me. Like, I can't say no to this place.
It sounds like your mom is very smart because lake effect snow is very real, as you've obviously learned. So getting to experience that, it's not just the cold, it's also the gloom and some of those things. So I'm glad you still appreciated everything when you got here.
Oh, yeah. No, I had to. I had to toughen up a little bit, but we got to buy some winter clothes. That's what I had to do.
Yeah, parkas are clutch. I wear one when it gets like 40 degrees, so I don't like the cold either. Yeah, and I grew up here, so I don't even have an excuse. But So you played quarterback in high school, if I recall. So how did that process go from high school quarterback to walking on to Notre Dame and eventually playing cornerback?
That's a great question. So when I was growing up training, I have my trainer of mine, his name is Lem Adams. I give him a shout out. I started training with him in the third grade. We used to wake up and do 4 a.m. workout. He was insane. One of the greatest trainers I ever had in my whole football experience. But I actually trained for both sides of the ball since I was a little guy. I trained as a defensive back, mainly safety though. I trained as a safety and a quarterback because you just never know when you're that young what position you're going to play. And my freshman year, when I was still in Northern California, as I was training for both, there was an opportunity to play safety on varsity as a freshman. And so I went out there as a safety. I had some good highlights. And the same thing with my sophomore year, I stayed playing safety. And then I ended up moving to Southern California, where I played quarterback my junior and senior year. Junior year was COVID, so we didn't have that many games. So I really only had my senior year of playing quarterback. It was an absolute blast, though. We had a really fun time. And I had an opportunity after I got into the University of Notre Dame. I got a phone call saying, "We have a spot for you if you want to come to university." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, let's go." And so when I got there, I didn't know I was going as a DB. I knew I was coming in as an athlete. So I didn't know what that could entail or where I was going to go. And so when I first got to the University of Notre Dame, it was actually a lot of the walk-ons when you first join, you're a wide receiver is the safe bet. So I was in the wide receiver room. And my trainer, Lem Adams, was actually close with some of the coaches at Notre Dame. And he would come to the trainings whenever. And he would actually tell him, he's like, "You guys know he used to play DB a little bit too." And Mike Mickens, who was there at the time, was like, "All right, we can try him out. Like, why not?" And my first practice at DB, I ended up getting an interception. And the whole DB room, this is like one of my favorite memories at Notre Dame. This is when I'm the end of my freshman year. We're in bowl prep mode, so it was a lot of extra reps. So I was able to make the most out of it. But all the DBs welcomed me in after that. They ran onto the field. It was Benjamin Morrison, Jaden Mickey. It was all of those guys, Xavier Watts, I could, like Cam Hart, even. They accepted me so fast. They're like, "He's with us now." And so I ended up staying with the DB room shortly after one practice being with the DBs, which is pretty cool.
So you spent that whole fall of 2022 or most of it with the wide receivers and then kind of
Yes.
jumped over at the end. Okay,
Exactly.
that makes sense.
It was pretty cool.
What's it like to, who did you pick off, by
I think it was Ron Pallas. I
the
think I
way?
got him. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
And then it was a fun experience though. It was pretty cool.
It's cool. We had your another teammate Charles Dew on, and he talked a lot about too, like his first time in a practice. I think he covered Cam Williams or something, and he's like, it was definitely pass interference, but I still forced an incompletion, and everyone went nuts. And he talked about like that memory really sticks with him,
Yeah, that's
so it's funny.
Dusky. Yep, that's awesome. He's a good kid.
So what was it like then? Kind of now you're a cornerback, obviously you kind of overlap with the start of the Marcus Freeman era too. What was it like to kind of see that up close and be part of the defense, which obviously under Mickens as well, like it really took off, especially that secondary. So you're kind of part of this, I guess, restructuring rebirth for Notre Dame's secondary and the program as a whole.
It was a eye-opening experience in the best way possible. Not only Mike Mickens, but Al Golden when I first got here. It was just to see what it took to be great on a daily basis and how much discipline was involved in it. I think when I first, the idea of coming into Notre Dame, I think you're a little bit more worried about the physical aspect, right? Of all the hard lifts and all of those things. And obviously, like, there's the physical side, but the mental aspect of the meetings and what you're learning. There was so much more about football that I understood. I thought I knew football when I got here. Oh my gosh. Like the amount of knowledge we gained from these coaches and how the defense works and the schemes and just seeing it translate to when you're in there in practice and then you see it on Saturdays and you see how it works and it's literally how they draw it up and you're just like, these dudes are masterminds. Like it's insane and how well they just prepare the players for the games. And I think one thing I'll always give Coach Freeman for his credit for is just how much wisdom he has just outside of football as well. Like the lessons he, like I always tell people, my football notebook that I have has more life lessons than lessons about football in it. And that's from him specifically of just the knowledge he's gained, the way he's messed up, and he wanted us to know how we can learn from his mistakes. And just he's been a blessing. He's been one of the biggest influences in my life as well.
Is there a specific note in your notebook that
Yeah.
stands out that you're comfortable sharing?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think actually this is more so a story of Coach Freeman that I will always take with me to the end of wherever my career goes. We're going into the playoffs. We're going into the national championship, actually. It's that week. And we're in a team meeting. It's probably Monday. It's the first team meeting of that week. Or I guess the game was on a Wednesday. So whatever Monday that would have been, it was the first day of our meetings for that week. And Coach Freeman was talking about how he had a meeting with all the coaches and the GAs, the grad assistant coaches, whatever. And in that meeting, he has everyone sit around him and he says, "Who here has been to a national championship before? Raise your hand." And some, even the younger guys that are new, have the opportunity at other places if they came from whatever school they had. So some guys rose their hand. And he said, "Tell me what you know because I haven't." And what I took away from that is just he's the head coach of Notre Dame football. And he is one of the most humble people I think I've ever came across, but not just to be humble, like that's wise, like to see who's been in that experience, what they've learned, and then feed that out to us. Like, this is what he said, this is what he said. And so that's just something for me. It's just he never was too big for anyone, right? And in a smart way, right? It's not like, oh, look at big old me. Like, people probably don't even hear that story, but it's like he does it to try to get better and be the best version of himself. And the quotes that he constantly says, "Reach your full potential," it's not him just saying it, it's him living it. And I think that's what's really cool, what sticks out to him. I mean, my notebook has so many quotes that he has. He always says, "Plant seeds you'll never see grow," right? He's talking about trees. He's like, "I want to give you guys wisdom and I hope you grow long. Long after this, and it's not for the credit of me, it's for you guys." Like, that's the type of man he is. So that's an instance in a story that will stick along with me forever.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so your career progresses, as you said. Now you're a defensive back. You did make your first appearance in a game at home against Tennessee State as a sophomore. I know that was a pretty big, it was 56-3
Oh
win, so
yeah, it
pretty
was
big
yeah.
one. But what was it like to get on the field for the first time inside State? I'm sure blue gold game and things like that, but actually for a big crowd on a Saturday in the fall.
Right. It was a dream come true. Just a time for me to thank God, right? And I think when you're in the moment, you don't understand how much it means to you until after the fact, when you go back and reflect on just how far the journey has come. And I go back to that notebook when I said Notre Dame football was a dream of mine when I was a little guy. And then when I got home after that and I really thought about it, I'm like emotional, because it's just something I've dreamt about since I was so young, and I don't want to take that for granted, right? I don't care what the score was, and how many kids would die to be on Notre Dame field, right? And it's just something I was so appreciative of, and that's just the whole journey in itself. It was just a blessing.
Your first 2 years, there were, some hiccups on the team, but then as a junior, you also saw action in one game, but obviously that was the year with as you mentioned, the national championship run. What was it like to be a part of that, and also just contributing as a scout team player? I know Coach Freeman also is super involved with the scout team, so you're
Oh yeah.
getting to interact with him in there. But what was it like to kind of help that team prepare, especially, after losing to Northern Illinois early and then rallying after that? What was that like?
It was you reach rock bottom with all of your guys, which is really hard. But it's also something really beautiful within it. And it's helps you kind of clear out the noise, 'cause otherwise it's just all of this hate all at once, and it just kind of like you realize you look in the locker room, you look to your left, you look to your right, and you realize you're kind of all you got. And I think when that NIU game happened and we realized the whole shift of the world, it's like, all right, it happened. Now what? Right? Like, how are you going to respond? And I think that's exactly what that team needed that year. That's what we go back and re-reflect. Obviously, you don't want to do that again, but for that team and that national championship, when we look at the run for the playoffs, I think that's what got us through a lot of it. Like, no matter what the score was at that point, we block out the noise. Doesn't matter if we're up or we're down. It's just this is who we are. This is what we're gonna be, and we're gonna push through. The scout thing that you said, which is so funny because I don't know if people mention this, the scouts probably hang out with Coach Freeman more than anybody else,
Right.
and I don't think people realize this. Coach Freeman is in every scout meeting. He's the one in control of the of watching the film, and he will rip you a new one if you're not giving good looks. So we're in the meetings and we're watching. Charles do know about this too. Oh, so funny. Oh my gosh, he was great. But Coach Freeman's such a good guy, and it was really cool to see the head coach spend so much every practice. Like he'd watch film with the scouts, and but that's smart though because it helps the guys that are in the game get better looks, and especially the younger guys on the scouts, they're learning the right techniques for when their time is to play. Now they know how to go about it. If you do the reps poorly in scouts, you're not going to do them well, and when it's time, when the bullets are flying, so it's a pretty cool tactic.
Do you remember a specific point where maybe you got a little bit of critical feedback from him? Maybe you're, I don't know, being too aggressive, trying to make a play or something like that, or
Oh, for sure. There is a few times. So I'm always known for always trying to get picks. I'm pick hunting.
yeah.
I always want to get interceptions. And sometimes, we have your coverages, you have your zones, and sometimes I'll leave my zone to go get a pick. And there was one time where it didn't work out for me, and Coach Freeman is like, "Where's your zone? Where are you going?" Right? And he's like, "Oh, he's on me. He knows what I was trying to do because I've done it before." But no, there's probably been multiple occasions where he's gotten on me, but I know it's out of love, and I actually
Yeah.
love it. Like that's the feedback I always want. I want to be coached, right? And so, it's always a pretty cool experience seeing him rip you a new one. And sometimes it was funny because the guys knew they messed up in practice, and so we had the scout meetings the next day, and they're just dreading it. They're waiting for the play to come up. They're like, "Oh, Coach is going to get on me. I already know." And it's cool. It's cool for the culture.
Well, yeah, I'm sure if it's one of those things, if he doesn't say anything, then he probably doesn't care too. So you
Right,
want, if,
exactly.
yeah, so.
Exactly.
It's a sign of endearment, I'm sure, as
Yeah,
a
it is.
football player. And what was it like? I mean, you got to see Riley Leonard up close. You got to see the emergence of Leonard Moore that fall in
Yeah.
your own room. What was it like to kind of see that part and be a part of that run?
To start with Riley, I was so happy for him because he's one of the most genuine people you will ever come across. A guy that was in the locker room 24/7 playing ping pong, a guy who's one of the hardest workers you'll ever come across. And to see him, how hurt he was with the NIU, like he thought he let us down. It was a team thing, but he thought he was the one that let us down. It's like, no, Riley, it was all of us. And to see how much success came after it made me so happy as just his brother, right? Like we went to his wedding the summer, and it was just you just love the guy so much because he is who he says he is, and he treats people with respect. He cares about anybody, no matter who you are. If you talk to him, he'll talk to you and have a great conversation. He'll remember your name. He's one of those guys. And to see some of his success in the NFL is just you just want that guy to win, right? Leonard Moore, that was a fun one. So when he came in that summer, when we still had Benjamin Morrison wasn't hurt yet. But we knew Leonard was a problem in the bet, like in a good way. Like he was gonna be very, very good. I think there's actually a clip of Benjamin Morrison saying he thinks he's gonna be better than him later down the line. And I mean, just seeing his technique, I remember Coach Mickens when he first saw Leonard, you could tell he was like this kid has something special to him. I mean, his physical attributes are insane, but just his instincts, his ball instincts are just, it's hard to describe what it is that separates Leonard Moore from all the other corners. I think it's just a little bit of everything that
Right.
separates wide gap. It's not just one thing. He's super fast, super quick, great instincts, and just super reliable. So, and he's so, what the thing about Leonard is he locks in, but when you just talk to him one-on-one, he's very relaxed. Like he's just a normal guy. And it's pretty funny. Mid-game, he's just casual. And then when he steps on the field, it's just full. I mean, you guys see it. It's Leonard.
Yeah. Well, we have to talk too. He's like the least imposing, not least, I shouldn't say that, but he's not that
Yeah.
imposing when you talk to him like in an interview setting, but then you see him on the field. Like I remember at the Boston College game last fall, they're like walking down on the sideline before the game. He's like, he just looks different when he's on a football field. It's again, it's
Yep.
hard to describe, but you're like, oh, I
Hard.
get
Yeah.
why he's good when you see him on the field versus just like casually.
Right. He's so casual off outside of the football field, and then something just clicks and everything just changes for him. But it's pretty cool.
And so you mentioned, and I remember that Benjamin Morrison quote too. And I think at first you're like, okay, are you just like gassing your teammates up a little bit? But obviously it turned out to be accurate. So, that's pretty cool. And so during this time, I know Notre Dame doesn't have like a specific like journalism program or maybe even broadcasting for a major at least. So what were you doing kind of while you're on the team? Obviously, you still got school and stuff too, but to kind of get in those reps and prepare for the career, because it sounds like you've always kind of known you wanted to get into media and being on camera and things like that.
So my started my freshman year. My freshman year, I started a podcast with a student and an athlete, another student athlete on campus, and we called it the Golden Ticket. And the main point of that podcast were to tell stories of, we'd have other athletes come on and say how they got to Notre Dame. It just was that casual. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with finding out why people are the way they are, why they chose the University of Notre Dame, how they got in here, the trials and tribulations they took to get here, the people that have helped them get here. I fell in love with that aspect. And then after that, I wanted to have a lot of my teammates on the Golden Ticket podcast, but it was a little tricky. So, Notre Dame gave me an opportunity to help co-host Wake Up the Echo. So that's how that came about, because they knew about my other podcast. And they're like, you know what? I think this is a great idea. Let's talk about your teammates beyond the football field. And I'm like, that's like my dream. So I ended up doing that with Tony Simeone, who's incredible, the voice of Notre Dame. He's awesome. So I did that for 2 years, fell in love with it. And then reps wise, there have broadcasting classes that I took. That's when I actually started my reel, and that would have been my sophomore year. So my sophomore year is when I began my first reel for broadcasting, and I was at the desk, and I remember I was so bad. It was I would just stare at the camera, and I was like no energy whatsoever. And it was definitely a learning experience watching back at it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awful. And I just ended up like just keep getting reps on my own. I think podcasts really help too, because you learn just to have a like how to have a conversation with people. And a lot of TV, I mean, I think TV is just having conversations with people. I feel like that's the best type of TV. And so after I was building my reel, I still didn't have a lot of time because of football, right? So I wanted to do NDTV, which is a student ran media in the Duncan Student Center, but I just didn't have the time to be able to start it yet. So I didn't get to start NDTV until after my senior year of football, when I didn't have football anymore.
Oh, wow.
In that spring, the reel that I had so far was from my broadcasting class, my podcasts, and my internship with ESPN that I had my junior year, summer before camp. And so I didn't have a ton of clips. And so when NDTV came around, I was like, I got to get reps. I just got to go and do this. And it took about a month or so, and I started getting the hang of things. And I'm like, all right, this is, I'm building an okay reel. I can actually like send this to people now and not hide it. And I was going to start looking for a job. And this is kind of a full circle moment. So I'll take you back to my broadcasting class my sophomore year. We took a vi visit to WNDU.
Oh,
And
cool.
when I was a sophomore, and so I met a lot of the people that worked there, and I was like, yeah, my goal at one point is to become a sports broadcaster, blah, blah, blah. And going into my senior year now, right, as after football, I'm looking for a job. I'm thinking about maybe going back to Boston or maybe going back to California. I have no idea. And I was like, oh, wait, but what about WNDU? Like, you know, so I reached out, and I ended up getting feedback like, we can get an interview, but I know there's already some people that they have that they're probably going to go with. And I was like, I just want an interview. And so I ended up getting an interview. It went really well. And I told them how much Notre Dame means to me, right? And like, I know a lot of the coaches, and the coaches are great. But I just, what I want to bring to the table is that I want to tell meaningful stories, right? Like, I want to tell, I love sports and I love stats, but it's like the stuff I love is understanding people. Like, I think that aspect in sports is so special. And that's kind of been my passion, and that's where I found my purpose with sports broadcasting, is just the things that are so much bigger than sports.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, and I agree. It's great when you can step a little bit away from the field and get into like what makes somebody click or what they're passionate about, or even just how they got there a little bit too. And I did see you did a story that I watched a little bit of recently with a local fan and stuff too. So it
Yeah.
sounds like you're starting to
Lucas.
get to branch out a little bit with some of those
Yeah.
things and find stories maybe people aren't aware of already.
Exactly. I feel like that's one of the most fun things you can do with this job, right? This is to give a voice to the people that don't necessarily get to speak it much. So it's pretty fun. It's a fun job. I'm enjoying it. I'm loving every second of it. But I am excited about football season coming up too.
Awesome. And I can really, I've been in a television studio one time, and I froze at least twice during it because it's so weird to like see
Yeah.
yourself kind of too. And you're like
Right.
trying not to look, but then you're aware of like
Yep.
how you're looking on camera. It's, you realize how much more of like a skill it is to do it. And again,
Right.
I've only done it once and I do like a little bit of these podcasts, but yeah, just to be aware of all these things, what your hands are doing, not being concise. Like there's so many skills that like you have to
Right.
pick up, and it
Absolutely.
sounds like you were able to do that fairly
I mean,
quickly after. Maybe,
I had my
by th
bumps, but
maybe you
you're
had to
right.
throw yourself into it, I guess, just to get through some of those like awkward moments, it sounds like.
Oh, for sure. I mean, but even podcasting's a skill too that people don't give enough credit for. Like a lot of people, if you threw them in a podcast, it's like they don't know how to which way to go and things of that nature. A lot of it's just reps, right? Like you get it with podcasting. You've probably gotten better and better as you go with how many, and that's what I had to learn. Going, jumping into the fire with sports broadcasting. I remember when I first started, which wasn't that long ago, but when I first started, it was like I had my chin up when I was reading because I was reading the teleprompter and you could
Oh,
tell.
yeah.
I had so many, I was moving my hands sometimes too much. And now it's just like go and relax and have fun. It's been easier as we go,
Oh,
but it
yeah.
definitely is a stressful at first.
I'm sitting at like a desk and I talk with my hands often, so I like they'd be under my desk and I would hit it sometimes. So now I've learned to talk with my hands like folded together so they're not
Yeah,
moving. But
smart.
like, yeah, they're just little things like that that you don't think of. But yeah, the first time I did our podcast, like we have the Irish Illustrated Insider podcast, I think I asked for the questions early and prepared for like 3 hours. I was so nervous. So
Yeah,
it is definitely a thing
it
that,
is. Yeah, people don't realize how much work it actually goes into doing all of this.
and what were your experiences as at ESPN like? I think you mentioned you were a production assistant, so you got to be on
Yeah.
the air a little bit to interview some teammates, but what else did you get out of that experience?
Yeah. So I was a like you said, I was a production intern. So I was cutting a lot of highlights and clips for the show. So I was on four shows. I was on First Take. And when I say I was on these shows, I'm helping the highlights for the rundowns. I'm not physically on these shows. But I was on First Take, College Football Live, SportsCenter at Night, and Get Up. So those are the
Oh,
shows that I
cool.
was on. Really cool experience because those were all different times of the day. So some were really early. I had to get up at 3 a.m. and some were the night shifts from 7 to 2 a.m. Those were the best ones. The night shifts were the best. Really cool experience. I think I learned a lot of just not only how to the technical side of things of how to cut VOs and SOTs and all those things, but realizing like SportsCenter top 10, right? When you watch the top 10. It's they just pick someone for the day. They just pick someone to like, oh, Zay, you can pick the top 10 today. I'm like, oh, okay, then I'll do it. Like I did one of the top 10s and you
That's
just pick
amazing.
your top. And what it's cool is you're in a big room with a bunch of computers and everyone's cutting film. So let's say someone has the Cubs game today, right? And they see a top play. They'll be like, Zay, you have top 10. Cubs play, seventh inning. What's his whatever name had a really nice play, right? And so the people help you try to do it with the top 10. So like that's really cool. You meet some, I guess you can call them famous because they're famous. You meet famous people that are really helpful. I got to shadow a few people as well. That was really cool. My old teammate's dad, Ryan Clark, when he was
Oh,
there.
yeah.
Like that was really cool because I was good friends with his son Jordan, who's such a good guy too. I met Hannah Storm too when
No,
she used
cool.
her name. So that was a cool experience. I mean, there's just so many great memories that I had there. A lot of even the interns I met were great, and just seeing their background, some were athletes, some weren't, and just seeing where they want to go within it. And then you mentioned how I got to go on a show, which was a blessing, too. So I was in a pitch meeting, and this was for College Football Live, and I heard that Coach Freeman and Jeremiah Love were going to be on the show. And so I raised my hand during the pitch meeting. I'm like, just to make your shows different. I'd love to surprise them. I'm Coach Freeman's player and Jeremiah Love, I'm really close with him. And they're like, you know what? That's not a bad idea. And so like the next, I think it was 2 days after that, they were like, yeah, let's have you on it. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know if it was, they were gonna go with it or not. And they're like, I was like, oh, here we go. And I remember being on the desk and what you said, I'm like looking at these cameras and I'm like, I haven't done it this much going into SportsCenter. So I'm just like, oh, can I do this? And then once the clips got rolling, I saw Coach Freeman, J Love, it was smooth sailing from there. But that was a really cool experience that I'm also not going to take for granted because that was a blessing.
It's amazing. I interviewed Ryan Clark for a story on his son, I think
Yeah.
early on. And I remember I texted him, I got his number, and it was like Super Bowl weekend. So it's like, I'll probably have to follow up a bunch, but whatever. But he was like, yeah, I'm in town for the game, but like call me in an hour, anything for my son. And I was like, oh man, like I would, but it just like spoke to, I mean, you see it on TV, but it was just like, yeah, like done. And I was like, really,
That's really
like,
cool.
moved by that. And yeah, I mean, it was a great interview. Like, he was super honest about like injuries and stuff. But
Yeah.
also, so I got to ask some questions about these cutting up like the top 10. Like, do you, are they
Yeah.
like, you do you like go to the streams to pull the games? Like, how are you accessing all this
Oh.
footage? Like, what is, do they just have it uploaded somewhere instantly?
Oh,
Like, what is that like?
they have a big computer. Like every all of them have like this big, I don't even know what the it was called. Q-Cut, Quantel servers, whatever. And it has every film from sports since who knows when. Wilt Chamberlain's probably secret 100 points is in there somewhere. But all you have to do, it's actually really cool. You search up like a number. So let's say if I want Tyrese Halliburton, I put zero Pacers, and then every zero Pacers clip would be like Tyrese Halliburton coming up. Like, and what helps is a lot of the shows run similar things. So like for the finals, so when I was there when the finals were going on, and it was the Pacers versus Thunder at the time. And so it's like if you're a late show, a morning show probably already clipped up some stuff, so you can even look up good Shea highlights, and you'll get like 100 clips of what you want to pull
Oh
from.
man.
It's like a kid in a candy store if you're looking for highlights. It's insane. But for the top 10, since those games are usually live and people tell you, what I remember is the people in the game would clip it off for you, and then you would just look up the highlight and get it from there. But I didn't realize how simple it was for like SportsCenter top 10. I thought it was like a whole committee and you have to
Yeah.
vote about what play is the best one. They just pick a person for the day and they do the top 10, which is cool.
Do you remember what your top play was?
I think it was like a high school game. It was
Oh,
something
sweet.
crazy. It was like a crazy catcher. I couldn't remember what it was. It was a minute ago, but it was a high school game, I think, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. And
Yeah.
so I know for your current job, you started it while you were still finishing up your degree at Notre Dame, and you mentioned you kind of really had to throw yourself into broadcasting this past winter
Yeah.
and spring. So what was it like to then also now you're actually working at a television station, you're also getting ready to graduate, like what was that process like to kind of also throw yourself in there? I guess you didn't have football for the first time in a little bit this spring,
Right.
but
Yeah.
yeah.
So I had some more free time, and they gave me an opportunity to start as a part-time photog, which I'm so happy I did. I needed to do it, just because I haven't shot a lot of video, and so I was there for about a few months, learning how to shoot, what angles to get, and what to do, what not to do. A lot of mistakes and a lot of learning. And it really helped me because now when I was able to, right after graduation, when I went full go with sports broadcasting, I had to shoot my own stuff. It wasn't something I wasn't used to at that point, which is really cool. But I think something to make very clear is that having an opportunity to go into a job like this out of college was something I'm so thankful for, because it's a lot more rare than I think. I'm in it and I've hear about how rare it is, but it's hard to describe through words how much it means to me to be at a place like this, to talk about the school that meant so much to me. And this school helped me get here, right? Like they helped me
Right.
find a passion for broadcasting, and now to cover them, it's hard to describe.
Awesome. And I did want to circle back to your senior season. Obviously
Yeah.
last fall didn't quite end how I'm sure everyone wanted it to. You again, you made an appearance in each a game in each of the last 3 years. Last year was the 70-7 win over Syracuse. So you've got some more experience getting on the field, getting on the field on senior day, I'm sure is a really cool feeling. But what was it your last season like? I know it probably ended sooner than you were even expecting to, so there's an abrupt ending, but maybe just put a bow on that last season. And also getting to see CJ Carr's rise. I know from listening to the Wake Up Echoes a little bit, you picked him off at least once or twice, it sounds like too. I think we may have seen once as a media getting to see practice, but what was that like to play with him and get the better of him at least a few times?
CJ, love CJ. I think our rivalry started when the ping pong table came out. Like, we kept playing ping pong, and we would talk. Me and him have very similar personalities. Like, we like to talk a little bit but have fun. So we started there, and then in the practice field we'd still talk. And the thing about CJ, which is hysterical, if you ask him, he was like, "You're not a DB. You're a quarterback playing DB out there." That's what he makes him mad, because I'm like trying to like read what I think they're gonna try to run. And so me and him had a lot of fun times. He got me a bunch of times too. But seeing his rise, it doesn't shock me at all. He's one of the hardest workers I think Notre Dame's had in that quarterback room. And he consistently, every time you see him, he's either watching film or getting extra work. So just seeing him succeed has been really fun, but deserving. Like, no one's really surprised with it. We all see how he carries himself, and his leadership is really admirable too. And then just the season itself, it did end sooner than we would like, right? We wanted to go to
Yeah.
playoffs and all of that, but I think, to your point, it's just a reflection of how grateful I like. It's just, even though it hurt, it was something that was just, I couldn't even be mad at anyone, because I was just so happy to be there, right? Like, it's,
Right.
I remember me and my roommate for the playoffs, was his name was Chance Tucker. Like, every week it was like, do we really realize like what we're in right now? Because that was the first time the playoffs were like that too,
Yeah.
right? Just consistently on like, your brain's just on a high of just life, of just realizing like, we have another big playoff game. Georgia, we have another big playoff game, like Penn State, and then now you're in the national championship. We would talk about that like before we go to sleep. Like, we're literally
Yeah.
sitting, dude, this is not real. Like, this is not real. Like, we couldn't even fathom how. And even like now, looking back on those emotions, it's insane to even talk about or try to articulate how we felt.
It's awesome. And yeah, I had Chance Tucker on a previous episode of this podcast just right after he got to North Dakota State too. So it sounds like he's was just getting acclimated, but I've seen on, I think you've shared some social media clips of him making
Yeah, he
plays
just
in
got a pick the
practice and
other
stuff.
day.
So yeah, hopefully it sounds like he's starting to do well. And yeah, I mean, they're now FBS too. So that should be a cool
They've been
experience for
good,
him.
so I'm excited
Yeah.
to, I said I'm going to be watching him. That's what I told him.
Yeah. Still a similar monogram, I suppose, too, so that might work out for him. But now, so I'm kind of curious on the you obviously you're getting to cover now a bunch of your former teammates. What's that experience been like? I mean, I've seen you at some of the press stuff, but to kind of be on this other end, I don't know if you noticed in the past when the media would come in and be at practice. But now that you're one of those guys walking around, what's it like to kind of be on the other and maybe have to follow some different rules than you're used to when you're at a practice.
No, I mean, it's still really cool. I definitely did notice media when they were there, when I was still practicing. I always remember, like, 'cause the very first four periods that you guys got to be there.
Yeah.
But now that I'm on the other side of things, it's still a really cool experience. Like, I see a lot of players that are my brothers. Like, they'll always be my brothers, but I want to create a safe space too. So it's just cool being able to cut those highlights now of them and see them still succeed, just from a different angle, right? And still, it is weird. When I went to the first practice, it was definitely odd. I felt like I was supposed to like go run somewhere, and like I was late to a drill. Like, it was weird.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
it was like I was getting all like the just old memories come back, which aren't that from not from that long ago. So it was weird coming at first. And it's cool when I'm interviewing guys now. Like the other day, Kingston was on the mic, and he didn't know I was right there, and I'm behind the camera. I was like, "So, Kingston, tell me about this, that," and he goes, Oh, he points at me. He didn't even realize I was there until after I was asked the question. So, like, those first interactions, those are really cool. I'm sure the guys will get used to it after, during the season. But right now, people are
Yeah.
still getting used to me being there. So it's funny to laugh at.
Yeah, they might get sick of you after a while,
I
potentially,
know,
but it's
right?
just...
Seriously.
And people, I don't think, realize, like, when practice is like, there's just like, there's a timer, and then somebody goes on the, I don't know, PA system is like, next period, this. And like, you guys just have to know where to go. Like, there isn't like
Right.
instruction. It is like a little chaos. I'm sure that you, I don't, PTSD is the wrong word, but you're probably like, oh, like, I need to be alert and
Seriously,
on
you
the move.
gotta
So I don't,
go.
I could see that.
And when you're a freshman, you don't really know where to go. Like, you're kind of just following the pack.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, okay, next period, where? But when you're a senior, you know where your next pod is typically and where you go. But you're right, it is chaotic at first, and you're just
Yeah.
like, oh. Gosh, just you just get so much done in such a short time span because practices aren't that long. It's just
Yeah.
they get done within it.
Yeah, it has to be super efficient. I think that stood out, like Aeneas Williams, for instance, this spring was
Yeah.
like, oh, I need to be the guy who gets everywhere because everyone else is so young or has been hurt a little
Right.
bit. So like, yeah, it's important to have that. Yeah, I don't think people realize that. Like, it is boom, boom, boom
It's like
with all
five
that stuff.
minutes, even it's
Yep.
quick.
So I'm kind of curious also to get your thoughts on this upcoming season. I'm sure, yeah, obviously you know a lot about it.
Yeah.
The AP poll just came out. They're number four. Got,
Yeah.
I think, the fourth most first place votes too. So obviously a lot of hype on this team. But what are some of your thoughts? We talked about CJ, talked about Leonard Moore, but there's a lot of pieces of this team that have people
Oh, yeah.
excited.
I mean, I guess I can start with the defense because that's what I'm most familiar with. That defense is insane. I think you have a lot of depth. Best DB room in the country, if you ask me. Arguably best linebacker room in the country as well. I'm so happy Kingston's back because Kingston, we knew Kingston was a problem when he first got there too. He's from Bosco, so he's a Cali kid too.
Yeah.
We watched his high school film. We're like, oh my goodness, this dude can ball. And I seeing a Don Shuler too. I remember when he was a first freshman when he came in, he was a leader right away. You could tell like later down the line he was going to be a captain. He was a captain last year, and he's probably going to be another one this year. And he's just a leader of that defense. He's physical. He's tough, and I'm excited. I don't think people realize how much he is a guy that people look to for just advice and guidance, just with anything. Then you have Bronte Johnson, who's a freak athlete as well,
Yeah.
super fast. He was really good at basketball back in high school too. I don't know if people know that, but. He's just an instinct guy. He reminds me of Xavier Watts in the instinct level, right? Of just ball tracking and finding a way to make a play. So that defense is insane.
Yeah, I'm impressed you made the Bronte switch so quickly, knowing that you had to call them Tay more than anyone, I'm sure, than the
I know,
media too.
right?
So
I had to think about it before I said
I slipped up once in a video and somebody, excuse me, commented right away, like, hey, you're supposed to do this. I'm like, oh yeah. So I'm impressed that you already got there.
I'm trying to get it
Also
down.
with him too, I've noticed, and I feel like I'm maybe beating a dead horse with this a little bit, but like, he tackles so well. Like, I don't, like, it's incredible, even watching drills the other day, but I think he missed like 4% of his tackles with, for a guy that explosive. Like, I don't
Right.
know. I feel like I'm talking about it too much, but it is like
No,
incredible to see a
that's a
young
great.
player do that so at such an elite level right away.
That's a great point though, because people sometimes don't give enough credit for that, right? Like you see his ball tracking, but he's also a great tackler. He makes plays. He knows how to track guys down really well. Leonard does too. They both are really good at that. But the way he's able to fit the holes as a safety, because he's more of a lean athletic safety, but he hits those holes like he's a
Yeah.
like you think he's Kyle Hamilton, how he's smacking fools down there. But it's pretty cool to see that. That's a good point. And I think the linebackers, Drake Bowen's another one, a big name. And then the offense, I'm excited to see them too. I mean, you have some new wideouts in the room, and then you have Jaden Greathouse, who's back healthy, and Faison's just, Mr.
Yeah.
Reliable. And just the second year with CJ, I think that's even more helpful with that. Top down, I'm excited about this team, and I think they'll go undefeated throughout the season. I truly believe that, and I hope they do. But
Yeah.
I had to put, that's what I think.
Well, I think, and the biggest game this year obviously will be Miami. on November 7th. I'm kind of curious too to get your take on that rivalry a little bit, which I feel like has had a bit of a rebirth after last year. Obviously, I mean, Jeremiah Love has been very outspoken about his distaste for them after, like, I think that's really peaked for the first time since like the 1980s, and it's going to be a big deal. What are your thoughts on that game a little bit, and could you feel that building even after that game last year, where you guys, it was CJ's first start, lost by three, but it seems like there's a lot there now.
Oh yeah, we wanted to see them again in the playoffs, but now they get to see them this year. I think you're going to see an extra chip on the whole team's sh like shoulders, whether they want to admit it or not. I think when you see them step on that field that day, you're going to feel a little different. Even as a fan, like you're going to see that there's like a di different atmosphere with it. I think we'll see that throughout the season just based off of what happened last year, but especially for that Miami game, right? Because those are the games you just have to win, right? And I love that Coach Freeman says that. Like, that's another thing that I love about him. He's not afraid to hold accountability. Like, he's like, we didn't make the playoffs because we didn't win those games, right? That's what it comes down to. And this year, their mantra is leave no doubt. And
Right.
I when they have new mantras, when they it's not just something they say. That's something that they are trying to implement every single day. Every day, they're gonna find a way to leave no doubt. And you do have a extra when you have a chip on your shoulder, you do have an extra, it's almost like a superpower,
Yeah.
right? If you do it the right way, it can be dangerous.
Yeah, definitely know they can't slip up again this year. And my last question, my wife actually suggested this, and sometimes I just like to make her happy, but she wanted to know, as a former Notre Dame walk-on, who are maybe some of your like walk-on heroes, people maybe who are
Ooh,
in a similar
that's a good
spot that you've
question.
looked up to? Yeah.
That's a good question. Ooh, my walk-on heroes. Oh man. Okay, let me really think about this.
Yeah, I put you on the spot too, so you got sometimes there's a name she's looking for, not a Notre Dame person, but she is a big Baker Mayfield fan. And
That's a great name. That's a
she
great
was
name
in
right there.
South Bend. She was really bummed when I was like, oh, I saw a picture. He was at like CJ's the night before for Robert Haynes's wedding. And she's like, he was in South Bend. I was like, yeah, sorry.
That's hilarious. I'm gonna go. Okay, I have it. I have it.
Okay,
My
great.
freshman year. My freshman year. Matt Salerno. I don't know if you remember that
Yeah.
name. He made a big time catch during Ohio State that week one that year. But I picked him. First of all, he was nasty. He was cooking in practice. I don't think people know how nasty he is. But he was a guy that helped me a lot when I first got there. I didn't know a lot of people. I didn't know w how it all worked,
Right.
meetings and everything. And Matt Salerno was a guy that helped me a lot along the way. And there's a lot of guys my freshman year that I can name that just were, I would say, heroes that really made me feel like this place became home, right? This place is my home now, but that's when that door was opened. Names I can think of are Chase Dixon, Hakeem. I mean, we just had so many guys, Leo Scheidler, Eddie Scheidler too, because he's a big media guy
Yeah.
and he kind of helped me too along the lines of just how to implement myself. He did Eddie on Eddie Street for a while. And so
Right.
that was inspiring when I got to start doing like Done in a Minute and all of those things, trying to follow his footsteps. So that was a good question. You could tell your wife
Yeah.
that was a good question. There's a ton of guys you can choose from, but those are
Yeah.
the names that pop in my head pretty
Actually,
quickly.
one quick follow-up on that too. Just with like the rule changes without, now it's a 105 man roster, is not necessarily like the space for walk-ons. Obviously, you'll be a little different, and maybe there's a transition with that going forward. But is there part of you that thinks, like, obviously there's a lot of times walk-ons just are super valuable to the program, yourself included, I'm sure, like, but it maybe reminisce or I don't know, if maybe a little sad that that part might go away a little bit,
For
especially a place like Notre
sure.
Dame where walk-ons are so valuable. I mean,
Oh.
obviously Rudy, but beyond that.
For sure. I remember when that was starting to be a rumor for college football when we were doing picture day that year. Like I remember we were doing when we do picture day football, there's always a walk-on picture. And I remember
Right.
we were thinking like this might be the last walk-on picture, like for college football for Notre Dame. And we were all like, dang, that's like we all talked about it. We reflected on it like that's kind of it's a crazy thing. I think they're huge for the culture. Like, it's just, there's so much more when you're in it, you understand it more. But it bums me out a little bit if it's going to get washed out. I know Notre Dame tries to really keep it though. They
Right.
try, they're trying. They're one of those schools that are like, no, I think we need these guys, which is cool.
Yeah, I
But
mean, Marcus
it,
Freeman wore the Wahpu Nation
yeah, he
back in the day
supports.
too.
He's
So
all
yeah,
about it.
he's definitely involved. But
Yeah.
awesome. This is great. I really appreciate you being here today and
Yeah.
sharing your story, man.
No, Drew, I appreciate you having me on. This is a great setup. And just thank you. It was cool to tell my story. So I
Yeah,
appreciate it.
absolutely. And for everyone listening, we'll be back again in 2 weeks. Bye.